Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Playlists and Plotlines podcast. If you're new here, I'm Allie, and...
I'm Ari.
Are you okay? What?
Yeah, I'm good.
Today was supposed to be a very exciting episode. Don't get us wrong, we are still very excited.
No, we are.
And I am going to preface this. If you do not want any season 22 of Grey's Anatomy, we did this last year. I put it in the show notes, but people don't read. So,
people don't read.
If you do not want any Grey's Anatomy season 22 spoilers or 911 season 9 or Nashville spoilers, which Nashville only has one episode, but
so yeah, you're not there's not like
skip this
crazy that happened on the episode either.
Unfortunately, we also have no news this week, so
but there's an elephant in the room.
We would like to start this episode
I can pull it up.
Oh, you want to do it? You can do it.
Yeah. Okay. Ignore the ads. This is not the serious part. Okay, guys. Get ready for being serious in 1 minute.
Are you doing the same thing I'm doing right now? Did you look up funeral music?
Yeah.
Copyright? Oh my gosh, I did the same thing.
Guys.
We are wearing black today.
Yeah. Every Twilight shirt.
In loving memory. Oh, I'll let you do it.
Loving memory of Monica Beltran.
Beloved. Beloved pediatric surgeon.
Pediatric surgeon, almost girlfriend of Amelia Shepherd.
Beloved friend, beloved mentor.
Hookup, I guess, of Winston. I don't know.
Wait, what'd you say?
I said beloved hookup of Winston, but I don't know if
no, that was not loving. We don't need to talk about that.
That man does not give two fucks about her.
Let's not put that in Jules. Oh my gosh. Not Jules.
But don't. Okay. Here's what really pissed me off.
I can't put that in the universe.
Let me just start with Grey's. Since we're starting with this in memoriam.
Sorry.
Can we just start with Grey's?
Sure.
Why did... They are pushing so hard. So hard. For that Winston and Jules storyline, they won't let it up.
Okay, honestly, I have a question because It's been so long, guys. We have missed doing our. This is the whole reason why we started this podcast. We have missed.
No, we love doing this. This is like our favorite thing.
This is our. We love doing recap episodes, and my memory does not work. Did we do the recap first and then opinions, or did we mishmash it up?
We kind of just kind of
yapped.
Integrated them.
Yapped, right?
Yeah, like we would like say what happened, but then like also, like I just, they're trying so hard to push it, and I already know there's probably going to be some shit since Maggie's back, and if Maggie shows her face at that damn hospital... There's gonna be some weird ass scene.
What? Oh, because Maggie has always been weird with like jealousy kind of stuff, and so
I bet you, I'm always.
I bet Winston not.
Winston is like hugging Jules like somewhere because like she's like having a breakdown about Monica or something. Because I low key think we are, as much as we're gonna get Amelia, like. Amelia's sadness next episode, I have a feeling we're also going to get some Jaws.
Okay, another thought. Like, I love Adeline Klein. And she is an amazing actor when it comes to sadness. But my question, I found out who the new showrunner is on Grey's this weekend.
Yes, who is it?
Because I watched Kim Raver's episode on Call It What It Is, and they were talking about her.
Oh, I didn't know Kim had an episode. Okay.
Her name, I'm 99% sure, is Megan.
Okay, cool.
So anytime we're mad about something,
we can blame Megan.
Let me look it up.
Guys,
I have another question. It hasn't even been a full season since Jules had some sort of depressing storyline. Like, it's been several seasons.
She's turning into the new Amelia. They're using Adeline Kane to just be as sad as fucking possible. Like, literally, her first, like, Link was, like, she had, like, that weird thing with Link. And then, did she have anything?
Okay, you want to know, can I speak on another thing about this that really pisses me off?
What?
Okay, I love this for Natalie. And I actually, I feel fake, but
oh my God.
I did just start.
Natalie made the funniest video.
Oh, I did see that. I am fake. When I am really bad about remembering if I follow people or not. And apparently,
I am too. It's okay.
I did not know. I did not follow Natalie. But so I found out who the showrunner is. Okay, her name is Meg Marinus, I think.
Okay. Period.
And like, she's done a good job.
No. But in terms of,
here's what pisses me off. So,
yeah,
she did this whole, like, I love this for Natalie, but she did this, you probably can't see it because I'm currently frozen on my side of things, but she did this whole, like, goodbye post for Natalie, which love, support, but.
Who did? Megan?
Yeah, Meg, whatever her name is. New showrunner. Yeah.
Okay, period.
Did this whole, like, goodbye post, and she didn't. Okay, first off, I don't think they posted. Again, they have not posted anything on the actual Grey's ABC account about saying goodbye to Monica. they're doing the same shit they did with Mika. And I'm like, you remember that, like, three-month period?
Okay, to be fair, Mika isn't actually dead. My guys, this week, to cope with the loss of Monica, I got back on reading my Grey's Anatomy WOW fanfic shit. I sent Allie a fanfic because
there's a million yet.
Monica writers within 12 hours had already whipped up
a fanfic. I know. I said they're working overtime. I was like, whoa.
Like, in 12 hours.
Here's the thing. I haven't read it yet because
Mika and Jules' writers are also back on their shit. Two writers, shout out them, on AO3, at least last time I checked, had written fics in which Mika comes back to comfort Jules post Monica dying. And in one of them, they'd been in a long distance relationship, but like hadn't been letting anybody know. And so they'd just been, and in this episode, I mean, in this fanfic, Winston comes up. Like, Jules is like,
why does Winston always have to be there? Like, why was Winston
is like Winston's trying to
flirt? You know, like, Winston's starting, for me, Winston, okay, he's kind of, not to compare the two, because they're completely different. Here's the thing, I actually like Winston, but his habit of just being there is starting to turn into Owen Hunt, and it's really, really, really annoying me. Owen always has to be in the middle of whatever is going on. Of course, he had to be one of the ones working on Link, which now I'm not going to argue on that, because that logically doesn't make sense.
No, that makes sense. It made, I actually liked his scene with,
why?
I liked him trying to get Amelia out of the room.
Why was Winston the one comforting Amelia? Now, realistically, I know that her, Link, Maggie, and Winston, they all lived together during COVID because of Mare, and they were taking care of the kids.
But, like, the thing is,
but Meredith was in the hospital. Mare had such...
See, that's what really pissed me off, is Winston being the one to tell her, too.
Why did no one... Okay, here's the thing. Amelia had no worry about Monica.
Where she was. Guys,
I don't even think Amelia knew that she had gone into another surgery after
because
Dylan.
I think the only thing Amelia was focused on was making sure her son did not face the same thing.
And the livelihood of herself. I mean, girl was...
Yeah, she was not in a good mental state. And so I was talking to I actually did talk to my dad about it. And I said, if multiple really important people in your life are injured, Richard was injured and Link was injured.
Her sponsor and her baby daddy, if you guys don't know.
Why would you be thinking about your situationship? Why would you be like, oh, yeah, also, what's my situationship? Like, obviously she cares about Monica, but when her baby daddy and her sponsor... Here's the thing that kind of
annoyed me, is they had such a good way of being able to fit that in. Here's the thing. They had... So, from my memory, Monica could not be in the surgery with Amelia because she had another surgery going on. Like, there was two...
Yes, she had another... I believe it might have even been the kid that was in the OR that they were prepping.
When the explosion happened.
So, and I think she held off on that cert. She was going to do it at the same time, but when she saw the thing happening with the holdup,
it was delayed because she went up to Weber. It was
delayed. But then that's why she got right back on that shit immediately after, because obviously one thing about Monica is she's going to take care of her patients.
She's going to take care of her kids. She's going to take care of...
Yeah, so she obviously got that kid into surgery as fast as possible.
And here's the thing. Amelia was still dealing with the fact that she was in a emergency situation and then trying to cool down everything with the dad. She probably had no idea that Monica was in surgery. Knowing Amelia,
she was not thinking about that.
No hate to Amelia. I love her. But she is kind of oblivious when, like, major things happen like that. So she probably didn't even realize that the ORs were open again, let's be honest, knowing her.
No, she was not thinking about that because she was not in the room.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she probably had no idea that Link was in surgery or...
No, because...
Because if you think about it, Joe didn't even know that Link was going back into surgery. She was like, why are you dressed like this?
The thing is, do you remember when... Teddy comes up to her and is like something like she's talking about Richard, like Amelia's talking about Richard, and then she goes, oh, and I'm still getting Link status updated or like something like that, and Amelia goes, Link, what happened to Link? Like, she had no idea he was even hurt. So if her baby daddy is not a thought in her mind, neither is her situationship.
And honestly, her baby daddy shouldn't have been a thought in her mind. Let's be honest.
Well, yeah, he sucks ass. But she did kind of eat for not thinking about if he was hurt.
Okay, if you are... I do know we have some international listeners from looking at our analytics. My father is convinced that they're bots, but I am not. So,
my father's...
He is! Anyways, if you guys have not watched the episode and are using... our podcast is like a recap, because I know Ari does that with Twitter. So, like,
okay, actually, guys, can I tell the story of how I found out?
Yeah, I kind of spoiled it, but
just really quick. Okay, guys, so I was trying to sleep, but I couldn't. So I decided, oh, I need to respond to Allie. So I'll quickly go check Twitter. I should respond to Allie. So I'll go check Twitter. See what's going on. So I get a thought process. This is at like, I don't even know what time, 10:15. And then I'll text Allie back. I open Twitter and the first thing I fucking see is Jules holding Monica's dead body. And I said, And then Allie proceeded to get about 3 voice memos from me.
And I was so confused.
Because she had not gotten to that point.
Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I had gotten to Monica's death, but number one, I was eating really spicy chips, so that was kind of distracting me. And then number two,
me when I'm eating my hot Cheetos.
And then me, here's the thing with TV. Depending on who it is, like that dies or something. Mm-hmm. I tend to not really cry until after the fact and when I see the edits. Now, here's the thing. I was in so much shock, but what really, really got me was the last 15 seconds of the episode where Amelia goes, no.
Because Winston goes, she was in the OR, or like she was in an OR, and she goes, no.
Okay.
And people, you realize, she had her phone out, and people are theorizing that she was going to text her. Like, she took her phone out of her pocket. Like, if you look in the scene, she has her phone. And I can see Amelia about to do that. Who else would she have texted? I can see her.
Joe?
I think she was going to text Joe to ask about Link, and then was probably going to check Monica. And Meredith. I think that
Here's my prediction on that. Can I say something? Sorry. I didn't mean to. Sorry. That was really rude. I just, like, cut you off.
No. But
I'll let you finish your thought. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I think that it would make sense that she would have maybe been texting Monica, because that was, like, one of the only people she didn't know where they were. And so I can see her being like, oh, where is she? So I can, like, check in.
Okay. Here's my prediction, because here's my headcanon-ness in this storyline. So we saw in the scene that she was on her phone when Winston walks in.
Yes.
We have no idea how long she was actually on her phone.
Oh.
Number two, she has a child that she co-parents with. So, logistically, she is most likely knowing her. She is texting Joe, being like, hey, do you need me to take Luna as well? Because if Amelia, if it was like Scout, I don't know. Obviously, we it's not canon on how they do it. I don't know if it's like week or week.
No, but I think that she would have offered. I agree with you there. I think she was going or had already offered to take Luna because she knows that Joe was under a lot more stress than she was at that particular moment. Everyone she cared about was in stable condition. And, like, obviously, Joe's a lot more stressed about Link's condition than Amelia is. Amelia just didn't want him to die.
And, like, if you really think about it, she still lives with Lucas. So, like, she would have two people to help out with the kids. If Joe, like, okay,
wants to be at the hospital, thinks she doesn't have anything
else. I feel like as a co-, like, if I were to ever be a co-parent, if my, like, stepkid's mom was in a traumatic situation, I would automatically assume that the stepmom's gonna want their kid that night, even if it's not, like, their night to switch. So Joe probably texted Amelia going, when do you want to pick up Scout? And Amelia was probably like, you want me to take Luna? Yeah. That's probably who she was texting first. And then, knowing her, she probably would have texted Monica. She probably would have texted Joe and then texted Lucas, because Lucas is basically her son at this point. And then she would have probably texted Monica and then texted Meredith.
See, I think, yes, I agree with that lineup. I think that she also texted Lucas and Meredith. And honestly, maybe I can also, I don't know. Like,
but I feel like the most, like, logical thing or person that she would have texted first would be Joe.
I know. I agree. I think the letters make sense. But, like, people are theorizing.
And luckily, we know that the kids were at home. Now, I was so scared that those kids were still there.
What did you say? You said,
I didn't say that Scout was going to die. I was just predicting that Amelia was freaking out because Scout was still in the building. You always twist that up. That you're always saying that I was thinking that Scout was going to be the one to die.
It was just so funny, bro.
I never said. I said that when that picture first came out, I said it's either about Lucas, Link, or Scout. And you go, Scout? And I said, it's because if Scout's still in the building, we all know Amelia is going to be freaking out.
Yeah, no. I get what you're
saying. But luckily, we know that Joe had gone home after she had talked to Link about why he was still in Scrubs. And if it,
I had to go take care of the babies.
And if Amelia, if both her, Link and Amelia were still having to be at the hospital, she probably would have picked up Scout and Luna. So,
well, yeah, because Scout goes home with them all the time. Scout and Luna are like besties.
They also are
siblings,
half siblings. So, well, actually, well, okay. Well, not biologically,
0% no DNA sharing siblings, but
not biologically, but physically,
but yeah, they're step siblings.
I mean, my kids are gonna be like that. Trauma dump, but
me too, queen.
Anyways,
Well, actually, mine could maybe not be, but let's be honest.
That's a whole other, okay. Off that, like I was saying earlier, if, like, you kind of want, like, a small recap, I thought we could, like, kind of go through, like, the events.
Yeah, we can discuss the events.
So first.
We had to share our thoughts, though.
Like we did last year, because we always did that last year. So.
Yeah.
And actually, I think we put our thoughts throughout, like, the timeline of the episode, but that's fine.
It's okay. This was a bigger thing that happened. It wasn't just like a...
Okay, yeah. So, first, the episode opens up with Lucas getting off the ground. And I can't tell you...
I was so happy when I saw that.
The amount of relief that came off my body.
I like how he just lifts that shelf off.
Okay, hot? Number two.
No, so hot.
Number two... Thankful you're alive, because...
No, literally, I was, like, king it on it.
Because
He said, I'm on my Zoom.
Okay, because we had very little ADHD representation in the media.
Oh, I would have been so sad if something happened to that kid. I love him. Like, he is...
We have very little ADHD representation in TV and media. And, like, if there is, it's, like, just a funny ha-ha joke in sitcoms. No, the way that they portray Lucas's ADHD in Grey's Anatomy is so beautifully done. And I think and it's so realistic as someone that lives with it.
Yeah.
And then I really only have two characters that have such a great, depiction of what ADHD looks like. And if I lost half of that, I would be furious. I was actually, you guys know on the podcast, we made our prediction that out of everyone that had, like, a chance of dying, we thought it was going to be Link. So, the whole Monica thing was a jump scare, but.
No, okay. Low-key, though, Allie, I did start having the very unfortunate thought when Natalie was not on that main cast list, but.
I was oblivious. I just thought, oh, Monica was at main cast last year. She was guest star.
Yes, I was being delusional like that too. I thought, we're good.
I had no bad thoughts. I actually went into the premiere forgetting that Monica had gone into surgery. Monica and Jules had gone into surgery. So this was a complete.
I swear to God, y'all, they're turning Jules into Meredith Grey.
Okay, so we find out that Lucas is fine, and then it immediately shoots to Jules and Monica. And this is where I went, oh, crap. I forgot Monica and Jules are in surgery. Obviously, we knew that anyone in the actual hospital was not safe. But anyone that was in the OR was majorly not safe.
Yeah. Because what did they say? They said that, they said that nobody in the hospital is safe, but, like, logistically, they can't kill off, like,
everyone.
That many people.
Somebody
in the OR was going to be the person that was most at risk.
And honestly, I'm going to be so real, guys. I don't know how I forgot, but I really did truly forget that that Jules and Monica had gone into surgery.
I did too.
That popped up.
Because we were so frazzled at the end of the finale.
The first 2 minutes of Grey's Anatomy for me was celebration because Lucas is alive. Because
Lucas is safe and our king is okay. And then, shit.
And I went, oh no. And then I saw.
Because unlike Lucas, Monica could not get that shit off of her.
And here's the thing. Immediately when I see a character that has something like that on their body and they say something like, oh, I think my pelvis is broken, I immediately go to, and I saw something like this. This is how people, we knew that Lexi Gray was dying during the plane crash, because she said her pelvis was broken. So everyone on TikTok was like saying, we should have known.
Oh, that is crazy. I didn't even think about that.
But I'm just, oh, like, for me, I immediately go to all the emergencies in 911 where someone is crushed like that. And I was like, oh, this isn't good.
No, it's not.
So then, yeah,
I knew because, and some, okay, just keep going.
Okay, but, sorry. Next, we meet these new god-awful interns, and I...
Why did they put them in this episode?
And you know what actually I'm thinking of right now is because... I'm thinking about something Camilla Luddington said about her entrance in the show. Because her and Jessica, a couple months ago, rewatched, like, the plane crash arc and did, like, a recap podcast. Yeah. And Jessica said, I mean, look, Camilla said that it was so scary going in there, knowing what had just happened in the Grey's universe and being on the episode. No,
I feel so bad for Camilla because she came on at an even worse time. That entire intern class literally came off of one of the most traumatic Grey's events behind the shooting. Like, this was really sad, but no main cast died. Lexi had died. This was Mark's death episode when she came in.
I just had so many thoughts. I'm like, okay, like, we obviously knew that, like, there was going to have to be new interns. It had been a while. We all knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, and those babies, they're growing up. But I actually...
I was just so confused. I felt like it took up a lot of time of what was more important during the episode.
And I liked this class of interns, so I think I'm
just sad. Like, why do we, like... I don't like new people, and you want to know why? It's because I know Grey's Anatomy, and the more they put new people in, the more they boot old people out, and I don't like...
Yes, and also, the more, there's usually at least one character from each intern class that I become connected to, and then some shit happens to them, and I start bawling, and I already know some shit's gonna happen in this one, too.
Okay, so, I actually did kind of love that Meredith happened to be the one standing by the interns when the explosion happened, because that whole interaction with Meredith trying to get into the building, and
that was so funny.
And the craziest thing is that these interns matched with Grey's Sloan Memorial Hospital and had no idea who Meredith Grey was, and that is
one of my... I was talking to my dad about this because I told him about the Meredith and Addison episode in which the new intern class has no, well, like, the current newer interns have no idea what the story behind Meredith and Addison is, and how, and they're just being messy and, like, following them around for the entire episode, and it was the funniest shit ever, because...
And also, I love how that one intern that was having all the issues, like, came out of surgery and goes, and she was like, oh, if you, like, Meredith was like, if you need me again, ask them to page Dr. Gray. And she was like, Gray? Meredith Gray?
Yeah.
And did you, like, not know what that woman looked like? How did you go?
Like, yeah, how did you not know where she worked? Okay, to be fair, she did literally just get back, but, like,
it's just so funny to me. Like, I just...
No, it's cracking me up, bro. And
the whole name tag thing brought me back to when Lexi was trying to get in the hospital after the shooting.
That was so funny. I miss her, my baby.
And, oh my gosh, that was the one part where I actually laughed in this whole
premiere. No, sometimes I love the intern chaos. Like, it does bring me joy.
Okay, another, like, thing I did... I'm sorry.
You're all good.
Yeah, I agree. I do love the initial intern chaos, and then, like, when they start getting their own storylines, I'm like, you're taking up time for the people I care about. Like,
Stinky.
Okay, one thing I did love about this episode, because I truly love when this happens, and I'm so glad it's been happening more and more and more mm-hmm. in the last two seasons, is Joe and King Webby scenes. I love it when those two are together.
Bless up. Two of my faves.
And to be honest, I really have no idea how randomly Joe and Webby got so close so fast. Like, in the last two seasons. Like, I don't...
Who knows, bro? I don't question that shit. I just go...
Anyways, I'm happy that is happening. And it was very, very sweet. Webby was cracking me up the whole episode.
He was sending me.
And I'm like, okay, first of all...
He's so chill in traumatic situations.
And I was like, first of all, man, you're not even the chief anymore. Like, you're not... You know, this is the beach. You've been so stressed about this. He brings that shit up. And Kevin was even trying to tell him being so stressed about this was not in his job description anymore.
It's one of my favorite things because Rossi in Criminal Minds does the same shit. He has not been like a unit chief or any sort of chief for a chunk of time.
The one that should have been freaking out.
Like he is. And it's the funniest thing ever.
The one person that should have been freaking out was Teddy. And she...
And she was. And kind of.
Does it make... And another question I have is, why in the world was Catherine there in the first place? Like...
Guys, I never know why Catherine... Allie, do we ever know why Catherine's there? She just kind
of, like, randomly...
She just appears out... Like, I swear she, like a ghost or something that just, like, appears out of thin air.
Kind of like Owen Hunt. Like, he's just always there. Like, and something...
Like, he should just be, like, there, and I'm like, okay... Oh, her saying, also, I know you texted me this, but her saying she needs to call Jackson.
Literally broke me. I was like, I was like, oh my gosh, Jackson. Like, I forgot. I forgot how much I miss Jackson Avery.
Okay, guys, one of the things that brings me the most amount of joy is remembering when I get sad about Grace, is remembering that in the Grey's universe, off in Boston, April and Jackson are living their happy little lives
and with Harriet. Canonically, we do not know if they are, like, remarried or if they're together, but we know that they're living together with Harriet. So,
and that makes me... Well, they can't...
I truly don't know.
I mean, I guess technically they could have broken up.
I highly doubt it.
Knowing then, they might have.
They
kind of have a weird on and off again.
I think sort of. Knowing April, she having like two really rocky marriages back to back, she probably would have been like, I don't think I want to get married again. But
no, I can see them like being like,
I could see really them being like boyfriend and girlfriend and partners again, but I don't think they're gonna get
and being like just really good. Like, also, I can see Jackson like them and them having a mature conversation that's like, we don't also want to, like, put a lot of pressure on Harriet. She doesn't know a world.
I do have to give a shout out.
Harriet, raising Harriet versus being, like, a couple, like, being, like, you know, getting married again or, like, any of that sort of stuff. I can see them having, like, a good mature conversation and just being, like, Harriet is our focus.
Question. Do we think there is another Draperl child in floating around in this world?
I was going to say something really crude. Can I say it?
What?
With the amount they fuck, yeah. Those, they are not chill. They are so fucking freaky.
That is a good point. You know?
They are so freaky.
The amount, like, there's so many couples in TV where the amount that they are freaky does not correlate to them not having a child. And like, obviously, canonically, I immediately go to, like, Tim Bradford and Lucy Chen. Canonically.
I said Chenford.
Headcanon.
How had those two not gotten accidentally pregnant?
Headcanon, Lucy probably has an IUD. So, like.
Oh, definitely. She has some shit happening.
She's got, like, the strongest form of birth control. Or we're going to get, like, a really, really sad infertility storyline.
That could also...
Because that kind of happened to Friends.
Angela, like, and Wesley having two kids makes so much sense.
Yeah, and so fast, too. Like, back to back.
Yeah, it makes so much sense.
And it's so funny. Like, the minute that Wesley said, maybe we should think about having another kid, Angela got pregnant. It was like he spoke it into the universe, and she got pregnant. And I think she's talked about that with Nyla, that she was like...
But yeah, because Allie, they'd gotten pregnant 2 times in their marriage.
And they've been married for 2 seasons.
Yeah, they were married for 2 seasons and they got pregnant 2 times in their marriage. So they definitely, there's definitely another.
Guys, I can't wait. If we talk about the rookie, we're going to get a tangent. But I can't wait. I can't wait for.
Oh my God. I just remember that we're probably going to get guest stars again this season because they've been doing that the past couple seasons where they bring back old characters, and that just made me happy. Can it not only be Maggie, guys? Can we bring back Addison? Can we bring back Jackson? Can we bring back April?
And the sad fact is that one of the people that I know would be willing to do one is on another TV show right now.
I was going to say, I know Jessica would be back on that shit, and I would love
to see her. Actually, I don't know if she would be really necessarily wanting to. I think Camilla would make her.
Oh, Camilla can make that girl do anything. Those two are like peas in a pod. I love them.
Okay, I think that's it for grades, because if we talk about the rookie too much more,
I mean, it's just sad. I don't know, bro. Like, I'm not ready for next episode.
I am excited for Chin for Babies. I just want to put that out in the universe.
What?
I am excited for Chin for Babies. I'm excited to see if my bet prediction is right.
Oh, their kids are going to be so cute, too. Oh,
and you already know. Guys, I don't think you guys realize. Little munchkin. I don't think you guys realize. Knowing Chinford, they're going to immediately get back together once they, like, reconcile things. And they're going to, once they start getting together back together, they're going to be.
Oh, they'll be on a. Because here's the thing.
Knowing Chinford, they're probably going to. Knowing those two, they're going to be like, we can just count this as a break. We were only, like, broken up for, like, 5 months. Like, we can just... Actually, we also have no idea how long they've been broken up, because the rookie timeline makes no sense.
But I agree with you. I think they will move fast, because they'll be like, guys, we, like, did all this again. Like, we did all this before. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, like, and Angela's just sitting there judging them. But,
like, Lucy.
I love how
Lucy will be like...
Sorry. I was just wanting to say, I love how we both just agreed during the Chinford bet that there is going to be a Chinford baby before a Chinford wedding.
Guys. them and J'Brol.
It's gotta happen. It's gotta happen.
Them and J'Brol just both having so much breakup sex and so much just
I'm so excited. We saw
what happened with J'Brol. We saw where that led J'Brol.
Okay, here's another
also why
I've heard this fan theory, and I know we very much disagreed with it and during the Chinford bet. But realistically, knowing how wacky the Chinford storyline is, they could pretend that it's only been 9 months since the Valentine's Day gala, and people are convinced that they're gonna like bring up in the premiere and Lucy's gonna be like 9 months pregnant. And I'm like, guys, I don't agree with that, but...
No, we already said that that's kind of crazy.
Bro, yeah. If that does happen, that would be the most ultimate jump scare ever. Like, just...
No, if I saw...
I've already Melissa said this O'Neil so many times on the podcast. If we open up season... guys, I'm gonna start yelling, because this is something I'm very passionate about. If we open up... Ari already knows what I'm about to say. If we... Yeah. Open up season 8 with a time jump and we do not get the scenes of Chinford reconcealing whatever the word is.
Yeah, we can
If we don't
reconcile
what I want for Chinford, I want Lucy to still be asleep on the couch. I just want to stop where we.
Yeah, do we have to live in a world, guys?
Can we not have to live in a world? Can we not be like most TV shows?
That scene? Absolutely not.
Can we not be like most TV shows where they just like immediately stop at that scene and then like? And
I loved that with Grays though. That was one of my favorite things was the fact that we had Lucas running and then the first scene was Lucas getting up.
And I have so many questions because like for an example like. A lot of older TV shows did this. Like, guys, if you don't know, I am a very big Friends fan. That's like, besides Grey's Anatomy, that's like my number one.
Did Grey's do that? Didn't they do that between 1 and 2? And because I know they did it between 2 and 3.
I'm actually not sure because cliffhanger of season one.
If I remember correctly, there was like,
I think you're right.
A couple of minutes.
I think you're right.
Addison,
yeah,
I and then, or like, because I remember there was a scene in the bar at. Like a scene at Joe's in the premiere of season 2. And I think if I remember correctly, that's the episode where Meredith gets drunk and she has the banana bag situation.
Oh my gosh.
They get called back into the hospital. I think that's that episode.
Okay. Like, okay, here's my example of what I want. I'm going to talk about this real quick and then we can get in the Dynamite one. But
yeah.
Here is what I want for Chinford, because we have the pull on Chinford. We're so depressed that it's not coming back until January that I feel like we just need to talk about them. So if you guys are a Friends fan, you will know the finale of season 6 and season 7, and honestly pretty much every season. And this is how older TV worked, from my knowledge.
Yeah.
Is that they literally, it's like they press pause and unpause. Like, it was, they were.
And honestly, I like that.
They were standing. I think it might have been like an hour later. Like, what I'm thinking of right now is season 6 of 7, where the end of season 6 is when Monica and Chandler get engaged. And then season 7, it's called the one with Monica's thunder, and it's like the whole episode is basically just her like being jealous of people like stealing her thunder. It's anyways, but what I want, and I don't even care if Melissa and Eric are in different outfits, if they look different, I don't care because R.I.P. Matthew Perry. But Matthew Perry, this was like that time period was the like peak of his drug issues. So in between hiatus of season 6 and 7, he had lost a lot of weight. And he looks completely different.
Yeah.
But no one cares because they want to start where they finished off. I don't care what else is happening in that premiere. I don't care if we start with everyone else being in Prague and then calling back and Lucy's still on the couch and you being like, okay, so it's been a while. Cause it's had to at least be 24 hours.
Okay.
They traveled to Prague.
What we can even do, I propose we do a quick immediately post.
And here's my thing about drama shows. Why
like
is it
10
not
minutes? And then we do like 5 months in the future, or like 2 months in the future, and then we go to the Prague stuff.
Here's the thing. One thing that 911 does that I love that and does not piss me off, which is a very short list, but
yeah.
One thing that they do that I really like is in a lot of their opening emergencies, it will say like, it will have, like, the big part of the emergency, like, someone sliding down a mudslide. Like, I'm just thinking of the example of someone.
That happened in Nashville this week. Because
they slid down. Like, they slid down the mudslide. And then the opening 911, because every episode of 911, if you don't watch the show, every episode of 911 starts out with an emergency. Like, look, it's like a cold opening in a sitcom, but it starts out with an emergency. 98%
of the
time.
I love. I think it's so fun.
And it goes 911, what's your emergency? And that's when like the 911 like intro screen turns on. And then
I love
it. Usually as soon as like the 911 intro screen is done, they do like a 24 hours before. They could do that on The Rookie. And I hate that dramas don't like doing that because it leaves us with so many questions. And I swear
it makes so Alexi much more sense.
Holly, I know. Wait, can I send a message real quick?
To Alexi?
Yeah. Alexi, yeah. Holly, I know you're probably not listening to this, but on the off chance,
and she's already written.
It's on the off chance you are. If you open season 8 with Lucy Chin and Tim Bradford laying in a bed naked, I'll clap, yeah. But I'll be excited. But I will also be pissed off because what do you mean we missed
and then be pissed.
We missed so many good Chinford scenes. I cannot. The number one scene. Oh, I'm going to ask you a question real quick. The number one scene I'm excited for, the scene I'm the most excited for in this season, and I hope we get it, will be when Lucy finds out what Tim says when she fell asleep. I am so excited for that scene.
Right, guys, I don't want us to skip past that. That's gonna be so good. I completely agree with you.
Okay, I feel like we're just gonna keep talking about the.
No, because here's the thing, Allie, is can we also do another in memoriam for the fact that the Ricky should have been on this week and they cheated us out of the football
game? Okay, that pisses me so. Okay, I need to know what show on Tuesday night is taking.
It was Shark Tank.
Kevin O'Leary, what?
I swear to God.
Kevin O'Leary took the spot of The Rookie?
I swear it was Shark Tank because I think I saw the lineup and it's Tuesday nights.
Okay? Yeah, I know that. And immediately
and I think it was 8/7 Central, if I remember correctly. And I think at 8/7 Central, it was Shark Tank.
And here's the thing. When I remembered it was Tuesday nights, I immediately thought, Dancing with the Stars. But Dancing with the Stars is High Potential comes on right after Dancing with the Stars.
So was it High Potential?
But
High Potential, I think, has a full season now, though. I don't think they're ending at mid-season. The only show that would make sense would be Dancing with the Stars or Shark Tank.
I'm so confused because I don't think it was High Potential because didn't High Potential have the same spot last year? I don't remember.
Yes, and I'm pretty sure. And also, High Potential was getting, like, another full season.
And
so, like, it wouldn't make sense.
I know for a fact that Dancing with the Stars had the same time slot.
Yeah, so it's Shark Tank. I swear to God, Allie.
I don't know. But, okay, let's get into 911 before I crash out.
Yeah, before we get pissed.
Okay. Where do I even start?
Yeah, because I didn't watch this 911 episode. I watched the other.
Guys, we've already been doing this for like 45 minutes now, but you know, it's fun. Okay.
You can do 911. We can both do 911 Nashville, and then we'll be good. We got time, bruh.
Okay. Okay. I cannot believe this, but I'm just going to do something real quick.
What are you going to do? We're clapping?
I and everyone else in this 911 fandom, I've talked about, I don't know if I've ever talked about SJ on here.
Yeah.
But SJ is a 911 TikToker. And he was like really debating on if he was going to watch season 9 or not, I think.
Honestly, fair enough.
And fair enough. Every 911 fan was going into this premiere ready to be pissed off. And
I mean, who wasn't? Like, bro.
I just gotta say, I was pleasantly surprised on how
good
this episode was. And I'm gonna give it to them. Out of the night I had Thursday night,
episode. You said it was one of the better things. You were enjoying it. You're like, was funny. It was good.
I'm pretty sure. I'm gonna have to give it to them. I think it was my favorite episode
I liked Nashville. Okay, I know I didn't watch this one, but I actually really liked Nashville. I thought it was really well done.
I love Nashville, but
also
I think
the issue is, I agree with you. You said it's a first episode. I think that's like literally what you said to me. You were like, it's a first episode. And I agree with you there. It was definitely a first episode. I still liked it, and I liked the characters they're building. But
I had actually no issues with Nashville, but I think it was because I put the bar so low for 911 that when it wasn't...
That you were just like, oh my god, this is awesome, that this is
when it happening. Actually wasn't that bad, I really got very happy. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
okay.
I'm going to do a recap because, as you guys know, Ari has not watched it, so...
I need to, I know.
It's okay. It's okay, we forgive you. So the episode starts out with, actually, starts out in space. The opening emergency is these two astronauts having some sort of malfunction. And I'm pretty, like, 90% sure that it has nothing to do with the malfunction that Han and Athena are part of. I'm not sure. But, anyways.
Who knows?
So, it opens up with that, and that's, like, the cold opening of the episode. And then, right after, like, whatever, it shoots to, we're at the firehouse, and it's Bobby's dedication ceremony. Very sweet, very well done. And we find out, which everyone knew, because it had been announced, that Chimney Han is our intern captain, and woohoo! Congrats, Chim.
I love him. He's my
very excited for Chim. And poor baby is just so anxious that everyone's gonna hate him like last time he was intern captain. And I'm so excited. I'm very the memorial service was very, very sweet. It was very well done. Mm-hmm. Which made me happy. Chim said some good stuff when he goes, "This will forever be Bobby's house."
That's so cute, bro.
Stab in the chest. He said something that, like, we all, like, if you guys, like, know us, that we all wish that he was still manning that kitchen and, like, you know, is here. And, like, ugh. Anyways, sorry. So, it's, like, goes from being, like, all depressed to...
just crack.
Buck being very, very petty. Well, actually, it starts off with, Buck being very annoyed that Hen and Eddie are...
Oh my god, you showed me this scene. I was cracking the fuck up.
Having a good time, and...
he goes, "They act like they've been working together for years," and Robbie goes, "Because they have been working together for
years." Poor Robbie. Poor Robbie. This man is tired of dealing with Buck shit. It was so funny. And Eddie's just so oblivious that he's like, Buck is like staring them down. So like, we get like a big frame in this scene. And so it's like Eddie and Hen are talking, laughing in the corner. And then... mm-hmm. Robbie's, like, trying to talk some sense in the Buck, and Buck's still pissed off. And then, like, Karen walks over, and Hen's like, "Have you heard anything from Fina?" And Eddie's like, "Oh, yeah, she wasn't here." So, immediately, everyone's like, "Where is Fina?" And they played us so good. The next scene that opens up is Fina in a booth with a man. And I went, "Oh, hell no." I said, "Not yet. Oh, hell no." I was so mad. I was so mad. And they played us. Athena was undercover. Everything was fine.
Of course.
Thank God. I would have thrown hands. What happens after that? Commercial break, blah, 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 blah. Something... fire trucks. Hen and Eddie went to the IMAX together to go see a whale documentary, which was really, really funny because Buck was really pissed off. And Estee said something in their reaction that's so funny is that he's like, there is no way that they know more whale facts than Buck, that Buck got upset. I think, in my opinion, I think Buck was just pretending that he didn't know it because he wanted them to feel bad. But, so they show up, basically, the Trip Haldger guy, like, everyone hates him, and so he's on this phone call with his team, and they're like, blah, 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 you need to do something, and he's like, I'm on a kayak, and he's like, I'm on a, he called it some weird name, it was basically a kayak, and mm-hmm. he had, like, this weird, like, tablet watch thing, and he gets swallowed by the whale, and so then, like, Maddie gets the call, blah, 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 they show up, and that's when they're talking about the whales,
mm-hmm.
And then, like, they jump out, and they're all sitting there, and Buck goes, there she blows. And I was like, oh, Buck, why? So then they're, like, all standing there trying to figure out what to do. And they're like, blah, 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 blah. Chimney comes up with this, like, weird thing with the hose where it makes noise. And, like, and then they're like, oh, there she is. We got to hurry because the Coast Guard wasn't there yet. They're always taking their time. And so Eddie, being a dumbass, jumps into the river without any gear.
Bruh.
Somehow gets Trip. I don't remember how he got back up.
Somehow. He just miraculously got
somehow, like, he jumped in, we went on commercial break, and then it came back to him being on said highway and him doing compressions. Like I said, I have no memory on how he got up. But my favorite part of that scene was Trim goes, I didn't tell him to do that. And he goes, hey, I didn't tell him to do that. And Trim goes, Buck goes, hey, I wanted to do that. And so then that was really funny. So, they, you know, like, they save Trip, whatever his name is, life. And he's like, you saved my life from that fish. And Han's like, it's a mammal, sir. And then they, like, blah, 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 do all the things. And then we go back to, like, we have some, like, drama with the Grant kids and Athena, Harry.
Oh, yeah, I saw this scene. I saw a scene of them.
Yeah, Harry dropped out of... They're just
really pissy at her. I don't exactly... They're saying that she wasn't, like, active in their lives, kind of?
And they honestly did have a good, like...
I haven't watched the whole show, but she sometimes does, her kids are not necessarily a priority sometimes.
It was more... I'll explain it, but basically, what started this whole thing is at the beginning during Bobby's funeral, like, Bobby's memorial something party, whatever they're doing. We find out that Harry has been living with May because he didn't want to switch schools, and Athena had to move because she sold the house, I guess. I don't really remember. But Harry's been living with May, and he dropped out of high school. May had no idea, and he's been working at this coffee shop, and that's how Athena walks into the coffee shop and sees Harry, and that's where all this drama starts. And basically, she's like, how did you not know about this, May? He was living under your roof. And she's like, well, you're his mom. And then
they she did eat because, that's like... That's your kid. Like, how do you not?
So, basically, they get in this fight, and they're basically, like, since Bobby has died, she has been very absent. Like, she doesn't go to any plans. Like, everyone invites her to everything, and Harry was, like, going on this list, and he was like, every Thursday night, we go to a home-cooked dinner at Hen and Karen's, and you're always invited. Monday night. Sunday morning pancakes with Dad on FaceTime.
You know, just like, yeah.
And then he goes, Monday night bachelor with Buck. And I went, what?
That is the most iconic. I'm sorry.
The grandkids, really? Buck and Athena watch The Bachelor on... I was like, what? And I bet Bobby was alive, he was there too. Guys, Bobby is alive. Sorry. Bobby was there.
Monica's alive too, guys. I'm Monica alive.
Okay. So, then what happens after that? So, basically, trauma happens. Hen gets called into the Chiefs, and that's when we find out why she's going to space. Trip wants to better his whatever, and he's giving like a thank you to the department, like a big donation, but in return he's doing this thing with like first responders where he wants to send them up into space. And so he gives
random
he gives Hannah plus one, and then it cuts to him telling Karen, and Karen's like very happy for her, but and they actually don't get in a fight, thank God. But so the reason why they kind of cut it up into in the trailer to make it seem like they were going to, but
they don't actually. That's so good.
Basically, she wanted to go, but she knew she couldn't because something with the company that Karen works for has a lawsuit with something, whatever Trip is in trouble for.
Oh, so it's just like a kind of like conflict of interest almost.
Like she knew she would like get in trouble at her work if she.
Yeah, so obviously she's not going to go. Yeah, that makes sense.
So she couldn't go. And she was like, so Hannah was like, oh, if you're not going, I'm not going. And then she's like, no, you're not. You're going.
Girls still go, yeah.
And so she's like, bring one of the boys. And she's like, do I have to? So then it cuts back to the firehouse, and she's telling the guys that, like, Karen said no. And then there's some, like, other drama, blah, 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 random stuff. And, in between, the next day, so they go on a call, and there's, like, antifreeze burning in this school bus, and it's, all the kids are inhaling it, and they have some sort of poisoning, and I don't know, it's something to do with ethanol, and to counteract that, they needed the kids to have actual alcohol for some, I don't know, but they basically each gave each kid a shot, and it was really, really funny. It did work, but it was really funny. Like, they would walk into the ER, and they would, like, give their report, and he'd be like, Eddie was like, this is Libby, blah, 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 dosed her with, 20% whiskey or something like that.
Oh my god. Bruh.
I was like, what in the world? Okay, so, and it shoots back to them being back at the house after this call. And so each of the boys are, like, the next morning, and each of the boys are, like, trying to butter up Hen. Like, Eddie is in the ambulance, and he jumps out, and he's in this alien costume. Or no, Eddie's, like, restocking the ambulance, and Hen's like, oh, you're restocking. And then as they're talking, Buck walks in, and it's like, has coffee, and they're talking, and then Robbie comes over, and then Chimney, and like there, and then the next day, it happens again, where or she had dinner for like a Fina or something, and they were talking about how they were all being annoying. I'm mixing it up, but basically that was like the initial like first like who's gonna get it, and then. The next day, because that's kind of when they find out, I'll find out about space or whatever. And so then the next day, Eddie has jumps out of the ambulance, and Buck comes around in the corner. Oh, wait, the whole coffee and air fresheners restocking happened, and then they had to go on a call because Buck was running with her being like, we fully support you, but if you want to take me to space.
Yeah.
So, air freshener, drunk kids, we're back. Eddie somehow, in the span of 24 hours, gets a hold of an alien mask. I don't know.
Okay.
How that worked, but he, like, jumps out of the ambulance, and they're like, blah, 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 and Buck's like, that was my idea. And Eddie's like, didn't say it wasn't. And then they're like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then Chimney comes over and he's like, oh, firefighter Han, like, this person I'm looking for. Here's firefighter of the month. And she's like, everyone's like, when did we start that?
Bro.
And then Robbie comes over and it's like, she could take any of us to space. And Chimney goes, ravioli. I think we all know if anyone is going to take, Hen's gonna take anyone in space, it's gonna be me. I've been her friend for 20 years. And then Eddie was like, what if I pull the guy that actually saved Hauser's life? card. And so they're like, you know, bickering. Okay, so then it cuts to pretty much almost the end of the episode. And the scene really got me. But it cuts to Buck laying on the floor. And we have no idea where he is. And I'm like, where is Buck? Like, he's just sitting there yapping, talking about how he misses Bobby. And we're like, where's Buck? Like, I was like, is he at his grave? But then I was like, no, his grave is in Minnesota. Because it took a while for them to reveal who he was talking to. I was like, is he talking to Eddie? Is he talking to...
Yeah, who's he talking
something
to?
Like a picture of Bobby or something? Like, I was so confused. No, he was talking to his 6-month-old nephew. Just like, just about like, that's and he so said,
cute.
I was half expecting to turn around and Bobby being there shaking his head in disapproval. And then he was like, I even miss his disapproval.
Stop, that's so cute.
Bro, that baby is also the cutest baby of all time. I don't know if you've seen a picture, but so cute.
No,
and we also found out that they've been calling him Bobby because on his wall in his nursery, it says B&H. You need to tell me you're not calling this kid Robbie, Rob, Nash?
Rob would be worse. I think Nash and Robbie would be the most, like, reasonable things.
So they're really calling this child Baby Bobby. And I said...
What is this, the 50s, bro? Maddie, I thought you had better naming skills than this.
Yeah, and oh my gosh, it was so freaking cute. Maddie's in the kitchen, and she gets on the baby monitor, and it's like, okay, Buck, it's his bedtime. Like, you need to leave.
Aww.
And then it shoots to him talking to Athena about how the boys are, like, really annoying her. And she, because there was this call earlier that day with this, like, dead person that wasn't really dead. She had some, like, weird bacterial infection that made her look dead. Okay. And she's, like, basically rotting alive. And so, like, it was kind of like a wake-up call to Athena to be like, yo, you gotta actually spend time with your family.
Yeah. That makes
so
sense.
They're, like, talking. She's like, the next time I get plans, I'm gonna say yes. And next invitation I get, I'm gonna say yes. And it, like, clicked. You see Finn's face, and immediately, like, space music starts playing, and that's where it ends the episode.
Oh, that's cute. That sounds like a really awesome episode, actually, and not stressful, which I love.
And, well, here's the thing. I didn't think it was gonna be stressful at all. I was just...
Well, yeah.
I just thought it was gonna be way more dumb than it is. Am I a little pissed off that this is going to be 3 episodes of space crap? A little.
Yeah.
But
that's
we guys, we are so close to Buddy Cannon. It's not even funny. Eddie was acting so gay this episode. It was He was like standing up his back arched, like talking about the air freshener. And
talking about the air freshener.
Like, this man, like,
Do we want to get into Nashville?
Yeah, I honestly have not much to say about Nashville.
Okay, my minor thoughts. The son, his beef with his dad is kind of, like, he just has constant.
I would get having beef with the brother. But I would get having beef with the dad at first.
He just has so much beef with him. Like,
but
he was talking to
what I was confused
guys,
about
Jessica
is what
Ketchum
his
being back on my screen brought me so much joy. She's so cutesy.
Country,
I love her.
Jay Cap,
I love my little country baby. She's
Jay Jessica Capshaw using a country accent was something I didn't know I needed.
Oh, bless up. I love you.
That's a good point. What really pissed me off when Ryan was, like, getting all pissy about this whole blue thing was his mom, wife, Jessica's character, literally says, like, I knew about it. Like, it obviously really hurt me at first, but, like.
And then what did she say? She said, he was also like saying something about cheating, and then he was like, you know, like he just cheated on you, blah blah blah.
And she was like, well, I cheated on him too then. Like,
well, she was like, we were separated. First of all, I wasn't cheating, we were separated. Second of all, I also had my fun, which, okay, eat it up. Like,
and then another thing, she goes, she was like, it's not that we didn't want that kid to be in our, obviously this is not word for word, but she's basically like, your dad didn't just like abandon that kid, like,
right? Like,
he knew about
his mom so much.
His mom was becoming a really big issue with that, and not Blythe,
his mom,
the other guy's mom was like being an issue with that, and she's like, we would have taken them to court, but we didn't want that. Blue seemed to be happy, and
we didn't want to mess with it. Yeah, which makes total sense, because I think that's a thought that a lot of parents would have if there is this child.
She was like, we didn't want to hurt you, and most importantly, importantly, we didn't want to hurt you. And I was like,
yeah, exactly. It was meant for both kids' mental health. Like, it wasn't like they were trying to.
And she also told him, like, they had been supporting Blue for years. Like,
yeah, it's not like they, like, she, yeah. The dad hadn't just abandoned him, like.
Which is why I'm really confused on why Blue's mom was really irking me. Okay, first off, you had the audacity to be pissed off that your son's dad's not in his life when you were.
Yes, when you're the one pushing him away is crazy. No, that's
and then
crazy.
The fact that she was complaining about, and then what really pissed me off is that she's wanting her son to use his dad to get money for her health, and as she's actively talking to her son about this, she is smoking a cigarette.
Right.
That really pissed me off.
Lock it.
And it, guys. I didn't know how I was gonna feel about Blue's character because of who the actor is. Apparently, he's some OnlyFans model, but
I thought his character was okay.
One thing I really did like about this episode is where Blue was really like I love the idea of being a firefighter, but I don't want to use my dad.
Right. Yeah.
And another thing that pissed me off. It was when she goes, you think your dad gives a flying crap about you? He didn't even reply to your ancestry message.
His dad clearly does. Like,
my question is a message like that is not a quick reply. He has so, especially Dawn had so many variables in this situation. They had not told Ryan.
Right, they're. And it's not like his kid, it's also not like this was a kid he was unaware of, and Blue doesn't have any idea the support that him and Blythe were actually giving him, and actually, like,
and like,
I don't know.
Oh, there's just so many, like, variables. Yeah. Like, first off, he probably was worried that whatever the mom's name is, I don't even remember what her name is, but.
I don't even.
That's how much she pissed me off. I didn't even know.
Me off too, Allie.
She was like, he probably was worried that his mom was going to retaliate against him.
From what Blythe was describing, it seemed like
in the promo. In the promo. She hasn't.
Yeah.
Because in the promo, like, Blythe, like, confronts whatever his mom's name is. And I.
Yeah. And, like, it seemed like. Blythe had been trapped, like what she was telling Ryan, like, they had been trying to get the kid. So, like, why?
Yeah, and I think Dawn, like, was probably.
Like, so if he knows that this mom is already a problem, why would he respond to the kid's message if he'd already tried multiple times to try to fix that situation, but then had this mom cause problems? Like.
Yeah, and I think, like. That pissed me off. And it seemed like, if realistically, like blue. I mean, granted, we really only saw him pole dancing before he met Don and Ryan, but he seemed to be doing just fine.
No, he didn't seem to be having a bad life. He seemed
to not be distraught that he seemed to not be distraught.
They make halfway decent money. That's not like
he seemed to not be distraught that his dad had not texted him back.
No, he seemed to be just totally okay. Like
and like he, especially why I another reason why I think that is when he must have known who Don was because or looked like when they run into him at that scene, he like you can see Blue's face kind of like turn it.
Yeah, he knows, but he exactly.
And then Don is like, and they're both like staring at each other.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Blue obviously knew who he was, and like personally, if I was pissed off at a deadbeat dad for not responding to my text, if I saw him, oh, actually, I probably wouldn't, but like. Knowing who Blue, like, knowing the little bit about Blue we do, like, I would assume that he would be like, why didn't you message me?
Yeah, he would say something if he felt the need to say something.
And like, even after the whole fact, like, when he went to the station to talk to them, he probably would, he could have brought it up then. I don't
he didn't.
I don't think that bothered Blue at all. He probably understood that.
I think that the mom was just trying to create imaginary beef that didn't actually exist.
And I'm like, why does your son have more logic than this old lady who has beef with singers that she wrote songs for like 30 years ago? I'm like, girl.
Imaginary
she
beef.
She even said, she's like, Shania said something about me and my speech. And I was like, her speech. And I was like, girl. Why are you getting pissed off for them wanting to use different lyrics than you? Like,
and I
is their song?
Like, he was like, ma, I've heard all these stories before.
So that tells me that she talks about this literally every day.
Yeah, like, this is, like, her only personality trait. And the kid is, Blue is done with this. Like, he does not.
Honestly, this whole, that whole episode, all I could think was justice for Blue. What is this?
Right. That kid deserves so much better. He deserves so much better.
I honestly, I love Blue. He is so fun. Like,
he seems so cool.
And I feel like, I feel like right now he's a little bit, you know, a little annoying. But honestly, guys, prediction? Mm-hmm. I think Ryan's going to end up being my favorite. And hear me out when I say this.
Yeah.
Similar to Buck.
I could see you liking him partially for that reason.
And I'm thinking just like getting very angry immediately when it comes to family issues is very Buck. And I feel like
that is, yeah, that is very Buck.
He kind of seems like a mix of like Buck and Eddie, which I'm loving. Like I and I'm like I don't really have much of an opinion about the girls yet. Like,
no, I think we need more development on them. There was that, like, one character. There was, I don't know. I feel like we haven't gotten enough development on them yet for me to form an opinion on, like.
Yeah.
I do like that there's, like, a steady female cast. I do like that there's, like, but. Obviously, right now, I'm just a Blythe stan through and through.
Okay, sure.
And now proving differently. Because was, I love Jessica
like
so
said,
much.
That was the only reason that I was.
Yeah. And I mean, she didn't disappoint. She did not disappoint. Her acting was on point. She was so good. I love her.
What else do I want to say? Honestly,
that's
I don't know.
Like,
that's kind
of
it.
I think that's like all of my thoughts. I mean. There's not, like, that much to talk about besides for that, like, the storyline we just talked
like,
about. I mean, like, nothing else
oh,
really.
Oh, guys, so I took a nap. Was it yesterday or the day before?
Mm-hmm.
It was Friday. I had driven home and, like, pretty much immediately went to my room and took a nap.
Period.
And I wake up. and go downstairs. And lo mm-hmm. and behold, guess who is watching 911 Nashville?
Your mom.
No, my father. My dad.
Oh, Ollie, I was talking to my dad about Grey's yesterday, and he goes, if I was to watch Grey's, where would I start? I was like,
my dad was watching Nashville.
Period.
And what really pissed me off is that he was just hating on everything. Like, I sat down there and watched it for a little bit, and he was like, I was like, oh, you're watching Nashville. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, he's like, it's pretty dumb. And I was like, I can't disagree with you on that. And so then it gets to the part with that little girl, like flying in the sky.
Yeah, that was so cute.
And my dad, oh my gosh, my dad's reaction to that was like he was just like, what? I'm like, Dad, we don't like this for the, we don't watch 911 for the realism. We watch it for
right. Oh my God, the thing that cracked me up was the tornado and the way they just turn around and stare.
Oh, and then another thing that pissed my dad off was when they were, my dad immediately, when he saw what, like, crank they were using, and keep in mind, guys, my dad does not build anything. Like, he's handy with, like, cars, and he thinks he knows everything because knows how to do anything because he'll watch a YouTube video and be able to, like, perfectly do what the YouTube video is showing. So he was immediately like, that crank's not going to do it. And I literally yelled from the other room, just watch and see what happens!
Most valid reaction ever.
And I walked in, and the crank broke, and I said, what are they going to do now? And he goes, I don't know. And then all those people came to help lift up, and my mom goes, my dad was like, this is so dumb. And my mom was like, it's supposed to be, like, a very nice, like, community scene. And
Mom trying to explain it to him.
And he's like, now we got to wait until next week.
She
yeah, Dad.
Yes, King. That's how TV works. Our dads, I feel like, are so similar. Like,
and I was like, this I would not be surprised if he ends up. He was acting like he hated it, but.
But he'll watch it. Yeah, my dad's the same way.
Knowing my dad, he would not have finished that full episode if he did not.
Yeah, if he didn't actually want to watch it.
So no. That's what I'm saying. I'm guessing next week he's gonna watch the episode.
Yeah. I'm imagining too.
Probably not live, but at some point.
No, like he was doing this week, yeah.
But yeah.
Well, I think that's.
Oh my gosh, what is this? Oh, sorry. It was just.
You're all good.
It was just Ryan being dumb with the alien mask.
He ate. But I think that we have to discuss then.
Oh my gosh, this was iconic. They just posted this on the Grey's page. It's Meredith talking to that security guard. And she goes, I'm Meredith Grey. I work here. And he goes, a badge, please. And she goes, my name is on the building.
Eight.
Okay, guys. I think that's it. We are so happy that we're finally recapping again.
Yes, recaps, guys. Recaps. I'm so happy.
We missed this so much. So, I think that's it.
We love you guys. We'll see you next week. Hopefully, the gays episode is less about to make us cry.
Oh, I thought you said the gays. And I was like.
I mean.
The gays, too.
Okay. One last thing. Kim Raver did low-key hint that she's going to get another WLW. Teddy's going to get another WLW storyline.
Oh, yep. She did.
This season.
She did kind of.
Which makes me happy because then maybe. Because I saw a TikTok that said that Grey's has just been career baiting since Cali and Arizona, and I completely agree. There has not been a real relationship with the kind of exception of Amelia and Kai. There has not been a real WLW relationship in a while. And honestly, MLM too. There has not been.
If you think about it, the only MLM. I'm 99% sure I'm right on this, but, like, the only, like,
yes.
long-term MLM relationship in Grays was Levi and Nico, if I'm correct. I don't think they're... That
so...
Hashtag bring more MLM.
Yes, and WLW. Guys, can we just bring more gay people back into the Grays universe? Because Kelly and
Arizona... You know, if Shonda was here, we would have so many great...
Right, because she's the one that set up Kelly in Arizona.
And kept them long term.
Yes. So, can we do that again, guys? Can we not?
Okay, yeah.
Anyways, that's beyond the point.
Okay.
We love you guys. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, hopefully the gays get their shit together and Grays is better.
And Grays gets its shit together. And the other two are just as good as they were this week.
Okay. Bye guys.